Hello, Hormans and Puggies, and welcome to the Pug Life Show, brought to you by Pug Parties, because your pug deserves to be the best dressed at the party. And you can check out our outfits at pugparties.com. I'm your host, Donna, and with me are my puggy co-hosts, Rosie and Kenji. Now, Hormans, have you ever wondered where pug parties come from? Or have you ever wondered what it's like to be surrounded by pug puppies? They're opening their eyes for the first time, they're taking their first wobbly steps, and they're biting you with their horrendously razor-sharp baby teeth. Well, you are in for a treat, because I'm talking to Joy Morgan from Banassi Park Pugs, who has bred pugs for more years than I think she'd like to admit to, and she's kindly agreed to answer all of my questions about what it's like breeding pugs and being the first pug mum to so many pug puppies. So before we zoom in, I want to remind you to subscribe to our newsletter in the show notes so you get advance notice of our next episode and much, much more. Hello, Joy. Thank you so much for joining us on the Pug Life Show. It is awesome to have you on the show today talking about breeding pugs and all things pug, I suppose, in reality. How are you?
Thank you, Donna. Look, I'm great. My name is Joy, as you said, and I live out there in Yarra Glen.
Oh, lovely. So I'm going to hop straight into it because I know that my listeners will be chafing at the bit to get the behind-the-scenes advice around what it's like breeding and being a pug mum to hundreds of pugs possibly in your time. Yes. So how long have you been breeding pugs?
About 20 years or just over 20 years, Donna. Yes, that was about the time.
Good Lord. And what inspired you to breed pugs?
Well, funnily enough, we went to the Royal Melbourne Show when my granddaughter was about 18 months old, at least, or might have been younger. And Kelly said, I want to buy a pug. And I said, oh, okay. So off we went to the show. And believe it or not, my daughter is an optometrist and she was working for Mark Trotsky, who was the top cataract surgeon in Melbourne. And anyway, someone said, oh, you've got to be so careful that these dogs, their eyes fall out. And I thought, oh, my goodness gracious. And they said, you know, that's probably not going to suit you. And I thought, oh. And so the long and the short of it goes, I walked out of there and I said to Kelly, I think they're lovely. I think we'll get one. But I said, don't worry. If his eyes fall out, you can take him along to Mark. And Mark or her along to Mark. And Mark will pop it back in. They were great friends. So that's how we started. And we went home and we talked about it for a while. And then from there, we decided that, yes, we would buy a pug, a breeding pug. That's what we wanted.
Oh, wow, that is incredible. Grant and I, who we both know, mutual friend, have talked about the Melbourne show and going to see the day that the pugs are on show. And I've never been able to get to it, but I'm hoping that I will actually this year.
Well, I think Grant has already bought two tickets, one for myself. I'm very excited. I haven't been for years due to COVID and all the other things. Mm. And he ended up buying two tickets for us for Thursday, the 28th of September, when the pugs will be judged. And I'm so looking forward. Wow. I hope to meet lots of people that I might know.
Well, I'm literally scribbling that down now. Unfortunately, by the time this goes to air, it will have already happened. But that's fine because we'll actually get to we'll at least get to enjoy it, and hopefully we'll run into each other if I can get the day off work.
Beaut. Okay, I look forward to that too. So,
so what is it that appeals to you about breeding pugs?
I think that they are such friendly little dogs, and as I've been enjoying going along to Pug Well with Grant, I had lots of people over the years that have bought pugs, and they've all talked about Pug Well. I didn't know where it was because living out there in the sticks was a fair way to go. So Grant has been kindly driving me in there. I meet at his house and he drives me in and we've had a marvellous time and I'm watching about 20 pugs in the freezing cold, mind you, and they've all run around. So, yes, about 20 years ago from a lady who would be well known in the pug world, I understand that Elaine McRae has now passed away, sadly, but she would be quite an older lady now. We bought our first pug, and that was called Izzy. And so we bought her, and she was beautiful. And then I don't know how, but we ended up with a mail from Cheryl Baird, who was another pug breeder and still occasionally will breed some pugs. And they were beautiful dogs. So there we go. That's how we started.
Now, what's the difference between a registered breeder and an unregistered breeder?
Well, a registered breeder has put a lot of time in and is really concerned about making sure that she betters the breed. They must be, their eyes aren't popping out like you perhaps occasionally would see one. We try as a registered breeder from the ANKC, which used to be the Dogs Victoria, and we try very hard to make sure that our dogs are very, very well bred. That's very important. But a backyard breeder or a non-registered dog could be, I'm not saying they are, but they could be, a part bred, or the person isn't that concerned. They just want to breed dogs and not concerned about bettering the breed.
So what is it that you have to do to register and maintain that registration? Because I think a lot of people just sort of think, you know, you kind of fill out, it's like your learner's license. You do a little bit of a test and you fill out in a form and you're forever a learner type thing. It's got to be more than that.
It has to be more than that. And you've got to make sure, as I said, that you're keeping your standard of your breed up. You're making sure that they're regularly checked by the vet and making sure. And I have used to go a long time ago over to Michael Bell, who's a very well-known veterinarian in the Craigieburn area and across there. And then for a while I went to Churnside Park. There was a wonderful lady that owned that business. And things had changed there a little bit recently, and I have gone back to Michael, who was always very good, but he still is. He's still practicing, but making sure your dog's well cared for, and then you've joined the club, you pay annually for that, and you just sort of, I think that's basically, I can't think of much else, but you've joined, you have to have a read up what's the new rules and what rules there are, and you must register all the puppies as they're born. If you register all your puppies through the ANKC, and that used to be the Old Dogs Victoria, which older members were used to that name. So that's it, Donna, in far as that goes.
Wow. So what's the most difficult thing about breeding a pug? I mean, I could count on my hand the most difficult thing about all five of the pugs that I've had over the years.
The most difficult thing is giving the pups to their new owners. And when the last one goes, literally, you give him a hug and you nearly have a tear rolling down your face because they're going to be well looked after. But it's still sad. You've still got the mum and the dad dogs, of course, but we have to make sure they're going to good homes, which are made so many beautiful friends. I must admit, it's one good thing. That's why Grant, my last litter that I bred, Grant and his friend came over and they bought a pug each. And then Grant came back and he said, this one's so good. He said, I want another one. I said, oh, no, you've got enough. He said, never enough pugs, which everyone will tell you, never enough pugs.
No.
So that's how come. But the hardest thing, as I said, is parting with them to their new homes, I think, and puppies.
Oh, look, I've started fostering this year, and our last one we've got one at the moment, Roxy, who will be with us for a little while longer, but our previous foster little Maya has just been adopted out, gone to her forever home, and we're so happy for her. But similarly, I do miss her.
That's what I mean. You so do beautiful. Actually. You miss them. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, so from if you can just give, I'm not talking about in depth, but just like a high level summary from birth, what happens with the pug puppies up until they go to their new family?
Right now, the mummy dog's going to have the babies. And if you know what you're doing and you're very, very careful, they can be born naturally at home and at the breeder's property or wherever, like with mine. And you must keep them warm and making sure that they're nice and cozy and warm. And, you know, one thing that I have enjoyed doing is teaching people how to do this, because I'm in my 70s, get the later part of the 70s. And I enjoy teaching young people on what to do and how to look after a pup properly, feed it very good quality food and making sure that they're very, very healthy. And worming is essential. Every fortnight after birth, I make sure that I worm them, and they are making that sure that they're clean. The mummy dog's well looked after, and she's fed the top quality food as well. So, and then, of course, at 6 weeks, you have them injected with their C3 injection and the microchip. And then at 8 weeks and a little bit later, depending on the size of the pup, and most of my pups have been a good size, they go off to their new homes. And they're all running around at that stage, and they've got absolutely the best little personalities.
So when did they first open their eyes?
About 8 to 10 days, you'll see this little slit coming. Oh, that's so exciting. Oh. And you get that excited. You go, oh, he's opened his eyes. And you tell everyone that, oh, guess what? They're 8 days old to 10 days old and their eyes have opened, and that's fantastic.
Oh, good Lord. And so from eyes open to moving around, how many more days?
Actually crawling around, and that would be about 2.5 to 3 weeks, and they start waddling around and walking. And at that stage, mama dog is she's sort of leaving them alone a bit, and she can go outside and have a run around with the other pugs. And and as you know, they all like to, Grant's dogs love to be attention grabbing at that stage. They've already started when they're babies. So there we go. That's what happens. And then they're, but as I said, very, very important. And the first thing I say to the owners is make sure you well worm your puppy.
So the so they're walking around the 3 week mark. When do
When they start what? Sorry, Donna?
Walking at about, oh, sorry, I should say crawling at about the 3 week mark.
Yeah, and then actually running around at about 5 weeks. And 6 weeks, they're completely mobile. And at that point of time, you can start to give them some what you call mother and baby out of a little can. And that's a very nutritious food for the puppies, and quite expensive, mind you, but it's worth it to feed them good quality. And then I usually feed them Hill Science diet, but everyone has a different idea. I know that Black Hawk is another good brand, and Royal Canin, another good, they're a few brands that I feel are quite good. And they have what they call small bites for small dogs. And first you, at about three or four weeks, you will start to give them that food, and they'll either lap it up or you can put it on your fingers and they'll eat it. And that's quite exciting. And then the next minute you put them down and they start licking out of the bowl. And from there on, we go at about 8 weeks old, they're actually able to chew the little tiny, tiny bite, which is a little biscuits they're called. Everyone calls them biscuits.
Yeah. Oh, that is incredible. So when do they start their rough and tumble? Because I think, like, I've seen videos, eight weeks, I just think they're gorgeous.
And they're fighting and pushing one another. And, yeah, and that's a very exciting time of life. And at that point of time, they have now been advertised, and people are ringing up to say, or if they're not advertised, I used to get most of mine from referrals, a lot of them, because, as I said, I bred a nice dog, and people would say, oh, when you get another litter, can I get a puppy? Mm-hmm. And they were all excited. And I was one of those people that a lot of them won't allow the people to come to the house when they've got the babies, and they'll wait until they're 6 or 8 weeks old. And then you might go over and have a look at them. I encourage my buyers, as soon as they want a puppy's born, yes, I want the puppy. Well, bring the children over, enjoy the time, sit on the floor, and I teach the little children how to look after a puppy and what to do, and we talk about it. And the kids are so excited by the time it's 8 weeks old, they literally dance in the door. And
I can imagine.
I use the open door policy that anyone can come in my house at any time and say, can I come this afternoon and see my pup? And I say, please come over. And they were most welcome.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's a great way to start socialising the puppies.
Oh, for sure.
Admittedly, like smelling you all day long, they'd be just sort of like, I'm a bit bored with that. I need a new smell.
And there's one thing that pugs love. They love children. You would know that.
Yes.
That the kids seem to be their size, And, of course, you have to be so, so careful. And I used to say to them, now, look, the children have to sit on the floor when they come and the puppy comes to them and all that sort of thing. And as of not picking the dog up and walking around and they jump out of your hand and perhaps fall, we don't need accidents.
No.
So at 6 weeks, as I said, the vet comes, or sometimes the vet will come to the house. Other times I take the puppies to the vet where they get their complete check over, and they get their heart monitor done to see whether they've got any problems with their heart. Very rarely, very, very rarely did I ever get many heart, a number one heart murmur, I would nearly have a fit. But now, as they got, you know, as I got further into it, very rarely they'd have a heart problem. And those heart, the heart, whatever I said the name before, I've forgotten what it's heart.
Murmur.
They actually 99.9% will grow out of that. So you mustn't worry about that. If it's a one or a two, they will grow out of it. And the vets check that, give them their microchip and their C3, and then 1 month later, they go back and they get their second needle, and another month later they get their third needle, and then they can go out and join all the other pugs at Pugwell.
Yes, most important.
Mm-hmm. Three needles and off you go to Pugwell. So that's beautiful.
Or Pug City.
Or Pug City, of course.
Any of them. I think we've got about 10 different pug play groups around Melbourne alone.
That's what I'm hearing about this, and I have been to two. I've been to Pugwell, and I've been to Pug City, and I think that's where we met first, and it was such a thrill that day, and it was cold, wasn't it? But
it was cold, but it was at least sunny.
It was sunny, and it was beautiful. Yep.
So, we were talking about the puppies eating solid food before, but in the early days, how often are they feeding? I'm always fascinated because I hear different stories. Like it's every 2 hours or it's every hour, and you're up all night and.
That's a little bit possible in the very early days. Oof. And I have what you and I or anyone would to keep those puppies warm when they first get born, I have them in literally you and I might call it like a lizard cage with a warm lamp on top of it. Mm-hmm. And I leave them in there, and then their mum is in a smaller, like a baby crib. And that's easy for the mummy because she's got them confined. Otherwise, they might walk, they might climb away and get cold. Oh, so yeah. Keeping the babies warm is very important. And but look, anyone that would like to know anything about breeding pugs, I don't know, but I'm very, very happy to teach anyone. I've just had a friend have a French bulldog, and she thought the vet said it's having six. She rang me up and she was crying, and she said, I've got 10 puppies and I live in Colac. And so I said, I've nursed her through that for the last 4 days, and the pups are they're drinking 3 mil of drink about every 2 hours. And you take the puppies go on and they suck from mum, and you have to make sure that all that's going well. and the pups are doing well. And most people, I'd say to them, weigh them, because then you know they've had their drink, and make sure they've been to the toilet. But then by that stage, mum's licking them like crazy. And they would suck for about 6 to 8 minutes at the most, and then they fall to sleep, and they drop off the booby and fall to sleep. But they are beautiful, Donna, and they really are lovely little dogs to breed. They'd be the most favourite dog for me ever.
Oh, absolutely. Ever since I saw Milo and Otis as a kid,
mm-hmm.
had to be pugs. I grew up with hunting dogs, so I am completely different to the rest of my family.
What do they have? What sort of hunting dogs do your family like?
Spaniels, so retrievers more than anything else. I've just had Roxy jump off my lap, so
by so the sounds off. Of it,
yes. And everyone's at the door to my office barking, so they've obviously heard someone or something.
Oh, they've probably heard Grant's dogs huffing and puffing and jumping around here. So that's cute.
I know, it's like a war over the microphone.
Oh, yeah, I know. But I'm over here with Grant now with his dogs, because I'm not good on the computer. I'm in my 70s, later part of that 70. And so it's been very enjoyable going down to Pugwell, and I'm so excited I don't know when Pugaween is, but I'm so excited. Grant's been telling me about Pugaween and they're all dressing up. There's so much.
It is such a great day.
Oh, the 29th of October.
Yes.
Wow. So that's not far away. So looking forward to going there. So that'll be beaut.
Oh, absolutely. The some of the costumes are just incredible. People come up with is just amazing.
That's great. I'm so looking forward to that.
Oh, yes. So I've only ever had rescues. I've never had a pug puppy. So if I was an aspiring pug parent, looking for a breeder, what would be the things that I should be asking a potential breeder before I commit to buying a pug?
Okay. Well, you would first say, are you a registered breeder? And that person's going to say yes or no. And you'd say you'd like to be with someone that is a registered breeder because you know that they've sort of, they want to breed for better puppies. And how old the puppies, when I pick up my puppy, how old would it be? And most people will say 8 weeks or 9 weeks, depending on how big the puppy is and if it's managing to survive on its own. And you think, but the other important thing is to say, can I get a lifetime support from the breeder? And most breeders will say yes, hopefully yes. And as I said to you, I've made so many beautiful friends because I either perhaps mind their pug when they go up to mum's for Christmas or something like that, or they just want some advice. And if they want to breed, I don't say don't do it. I think to myself, if that's what they'd like to do, breed a better puppy, that's great too.
Is it normal for somebody to sign a contract? I've sort of heard varying stories. Some breeders do, some breeders don't.
Well, if I was a little bit concerned that the owner might be a little bit different, meaning that they're not able to cope and you were worried about what's going to happen. But very rarely did I ever get them to sign a contract because I believe that if that person has a problem with the dog, they'll come back to me and they'll say to me, and touch wood, I have never had to return any money for a pug that's got sick. And if they did ring me and say something was wrong, I would happily return their money and give them another puppy. But touch wood, 20 years, Donna, and I've never had to do it quite yet. And so, so that's where we're at. And what else would you ask? Making sure that the person hasn't got 45 dogs, all different varieties running around. Mm-hmm. As I said, they can come to my home at any time and they could see the puppies and the mummy and the daddy dog.
Lovely. Now I've heard purchase prices vary. What are the reasons why? Like the obvious one is somebody says they have papers or they don't have papers.
Yes.
But I see varying prices, whether they're fawn or black or, I see brindle, even though I think technically they're not purebred pug.
No. And what's the other one? Panda pugs.
The number of crosses I see advertised these days, I'm amazed.
Well,
if somebody was going to buy just a straight out purebred fawn pug or a black pug from a registered breeder, what could they expect to pay?
At this point of time, because of COVID has been and gone, hopefully, I would think around about $2,500 to $3,000 for a registered pug with papers. At this point of time, that's 2023, that would be terrific. And I think during COVID, I didn't put my price up, but it was everybody wanted a dog. Everybody would, you were at waiting lists and all sorts of things. But everything went smoothly for us and we had a very, very lot of happy people. And I think for a while in COVID, I didn't breed because the people could not come out to have a look at them. They were confined to their homes. That's why there was a waiting list. And people, when they could come out, they were coming, you know, when COVID was over, pugs sort of came, the breeders were able to breed and people were happy and they could fill their waiting lists. Mm. Presently, I'm not sure. I don't think there's... Of course, everyone went crazy about breeding French bulldogs, and a a lot of people went into French Bulldogs at that point of time. But the pug people, if they are pug people through and through, and they don't want a French Bulldog, they're happy to take their pug.
Yes, and we're also happy to wait.
Yes.
for our beautiful little snuffling face of joy.
That's it.
So going back to the mum, if I remember correctly, because I read a number of pug books to sort of keep my knowledge up, the mother is actually called the dam and the father is the sire.
That's right, Donna. You've done well there.
I know. I have to.
Extremely well. Yes.
I am fascinated about pugs, as you can tell.
And there's single coat and double coat dogs. That's one other thing a lot of people aren't aware of. And the single coat dogs, I think Grant's got two single coat dogs here. I'm pretty sure these two little devils that he bought from me. And one's called Angel, but Grant assures me that she's no angel, Joy. She's no angel. But anyway, and the other one, Nitro. And they are sitting here on the chair and they're just adorable, Donna. They are adorable. Nitro's black and that was the last black that I bred. And then the other one is a fawn. And then there's Apricot too, which is a bit of a different colour. But that's still a recognised colour with the ANKC Dogs Victoria.
So you've actually put us into a wonderful segue. Myths versus facts. One of the things I hear commonly is that you can't breed a black pug. They're a throwback.
Well,
that's the right word for it. Like you can put two fawns together and get all black pugs, or you can put two black pugs together.
No, very rare. It would be rather rare to put two black pugs together and not get black pups. If you ended up two blacks and if they're dominant black, they will throw black. If you put two fawns together, they will throw fawn. And in my opinion, and only in my opinion, the lighter the fawn, the better the quality of the puppy. Not that it makes much difference. But ones that have got a lot of black in them have been a black and a fawn, black male or the opposite way around. And then they might get three black pups and three fawn pups or two. So it's just a matter of genetics and which is the stronger dominant, the male or the female. Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating because, I mean, I'm a bit like Grant. I do have a soft spot for my black pugs.
I know.
I love my fawn pugs too, but there is just something about my black pugs.
I think
it's personality.
I think you're right. Yes, I think you are right. Yes.
They're mischievous.
Very. As I said. But then again, Angel, he tells me, the little fawn one, she's no angel. He reminds me of that all the time.
It's all your fault.
I think so. And his dear friend, he came over and he bought two as well. And his two older dogs passed away. He said they were very old and he wanted another one. And it wasn't long and the old dog passed away. I don't know what age, but they usually live to about 13 or 14. But I've heard people have them much longer than that. But gee whiz. They have nursed that dog, looked after it perfectly.
Oh, absolutely. I have to, most of mine, all being rescues, have been somewhere between 10 and 14. So,
well, yeah, that's
pretty lucky.
But a 16-year-old pug is a very ancient puppy, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Well, little Minnie Crow got all the way to 18, which does amaze me. Yes.
Beautiful.
Just a gorgeous little pug. Now, the other one we were talking about, single coat and double coat.
Yes.
Another thing, whether it is fact or fiction, that I've been told is that black pugs are always a single coat and fawn pugs, depending on their lineage, will be either single or double.
Black pugs are always single coat. Is that what you've been?
Yes, that was the first one I heard.
No, I think that they can be a double coat too, definitely. So there's not a lot of them around because you know the silly thing they say, black attracts the heat, and of course that's one other thing you have to be very very careful of with your pugs and your shorts, what you call them, squishy face dogs, is the heat, and they do not like that. Well, you don't ever leave them out on a day when it says it's going to be 38 or 28, 30, up to 40. Dog is definitely kept inside and definitely with the air conditioner on.
Yes.
If you have one, of course. Otherwise, a nice cool room if you've got one of those and a fan.
Oh, absolutely. So the other thing that I heard around the single coat and the double coat, and I can't remember which way is around, but I'd read somewhere that single coats come from America or originated from America and double coats originated from the UK.
I don't exactly, but it does sound logical to me because England is colder. America overall would be warmer, wouldn't it?
Mm.
That's possibly why, but there's not the double coats. The other thing that most people love, a single coat, they're not losing as much fur. A double coat, the other in the season, the warmer season, and in coming into the winter and then coming out of winter, they have got a lot of fur around the house.
Oh, yes.
And a lot of people now, of course, you can buy those very expensive vacuums that run around, robot vacuum cleaners, yes. and they seem to be excellent for pug fur.
Yes, I'm currently, because we've just entered into spring, I am currently going through the 2 fawn pug double coat shedding.
Oh, so. Dear, oh dear. And tomorrow I'm told that each, and which is a good thing, most people give their pugs a shampoo and a wash around about every 3 to 4 weeks. And it's a good thing not to wash them too often because you'll wash all the oil out of their fur.
Mm.
And so that's another thing I forgot to mention is the maintenance of a pug. It's not that hard. And if you get a good pug, he's not going to have his eyes popping out either. They're well set back, which is wonderful.
No, I've always been of the opinion that prevention is the best cure for keeping away from the vet.
Absolutely.
Like because keeping their ears clean, keeping their eyes clean, their nose bold.
That's feeding right, all of that. Feeding the right. And the other thing we have to watch with some and is a little bit being overweight. And, you know, you've got to be very aware that overweight pug in the summer is going to have a bit of trouble breathing. So dropping the weight is the best cure for that hot days too.
Mm.
So that's
getting back to Mama Pug. So how often should she be bred in the year? Same thing. I've heard various opinions and stories around how often the dam should be bred.
Okay. So what the ANKC sort of suggests to you is when they're over 12 months old, you do never breed until they're on their second season at least, which makes them over 12 months old. And then you breed your puppy once. And then depending on, say, we're considering she's having a natural birth, that would be once, and then breed her again. And then you must have at least a waiting period before the next time. So you miss a couple of seasons with your female, and if one, if not two, and then you can have some more puppies. So in about 18 months to 2 years, she's perhaps had at the most, in time, not in age, in time, 18 months to 2 years, she's perhaps had 3 litters. Now, 3 litters with a cesarean, I never, ever put my dogs into their fourth. If they had 3 cesareans, in those days they used to say have a cesarean, but later on I do believe a pug without a problem can breed naturally. And so 3 litters for any female pug, and then they go off to a forever home. And I used to give them away to, that's why I've made so many wonderful friends. Possibly they had young children and couldn't afford to buy one. And that pug would live for its, as you say, a long time and make a little family very happy.
Oh, absolutely. Uh-huh. So that's mum. So dad, they can go dad, hell forever.
Well, I was going to say something a bit too. What would you call it?
Not PG.
No, that's right. We won't talk about it here. But I would say they seem to think that up to 8 years the male can father the puppies.
Oh wow!
And then after that, it's only by veterinary advice. I understand is a good thing. If the vet thinks that he's not doing too good there with his sperm count, then we won't breed him. And let him just retire. And you can either, some of them, they have them de-sexed and send them along at that point of time to a loving family, and that'll be beaut, and they'll be very happy living with that family. And very they'll be lucky. And they're going to get another pug. Yeah, another 8 or 10 years. And, you know, most people love their dog to death, and we know a lot of people, and as I said, a lot of my friends I could name them that have got a pug from me and they're so happy. And then all of a sudden up pops up and here we go, oh, this is my little dog. She's now 10. She's now 12. And then people will come back and buy a pug from the breeder if they're still doing that after their first pug passes away. And I was at that stage a while ago when the first pugs had passed away and they've bought another one. So there we go.
No, that's lovely. So can you tell us about so what's your breeding business name? I'm trying to think of the right words.
Called Ben. Now that's what's my stud name? It's
yes.
Actually it's called Ben Assey Pugs. And I'm going to tell you quite how that was named. It's very hard to get a stud name these days because there's so many people and you can't it's not only pugs, every Dogs Victoria, every one that they have on their list can be a Rottweiler, it can be a Fox Terrier, but Ben Assey, and you might put down six or eight names so you can name your stud. And I think they give you about five or six choices. And our pug breeding is Ben Assey. That happens to be my grandson, Benny, who was only a little tiny boy then. He's now about 23. And the granddaughter, who's now 20. And over 20, and she was a little tiny baby when we bought the first dog from up at Bendigo from the McRae family, which is, I'm just trying to think of what their stud name was, and I'm just going to think about it. I might remember, I might not. As I said, Ben Assey, it took us about two tries to say, that was a long time ago. Imagine now people say, I'm trying to get a stud name, and I've had three goes, and that's already taken. So there we go. But, Ben Assey Pugs, and that's a name that my daughter is the breeder, and I'm the one that minds all the baby dogs and the mama dogs sometimes. Yep.
It's a family business, well and truly.
Well, sort of, yes. Yeah, because, of course, when you work full-time, as you know, having baby pugs doesn't work exactly too well either, does it?
Oh, yeah, they never come at the most appropriate time.
No, and then you must be home when they're born for the first couple of weeks, yes. Until mum's not going to squash them or. And very important I'm jumping from one thing to the other and my apologies for that. But very importantly, when the mama dog has had the babies, she will not eat the day before she has the baby. She doesn't eat any food. And you've taken her temperature and, yes, she's going to have the puppies, okay? Her temperature has dropped. She's not eating and she's looking and she's nesting around. She's trying to find a place behind the couch or behind the cupboard or if she could get into your bedroom, which you usually you don't let them, of course, because she's going to have the babies. After babies are born, you must make sure that they eat because they're then ravenously hungry.
I can imagine.
And now she's got to start making milk to feed all these puppies. So the reason and I'm saying that is because if she's so hungry, she might lick them and lick too hard and then she's sort of starving hungry as well. And I always say to people, go down to Coles, go down to Woolworths or your chicken shop and come home with a roast chicken. They love it.
Oh, yes.
After babies are born, they are ravenous. And you hand them those pieces in your hand and once they come out of, their little after having the babies, they are ravenous and they'll enjoy a roast chicken from Coles.
They've worked very hard. They deserve it.
Too right. And it's in between puppies. And as I said, I'm happy to help anybody that would like to know a bit more about it. Please don't hesitate to give me a call if you need to because we need to better the breed. We don't want to have all these mongrel. And to be honest, I'm not over fussed in part bred dogs, but all these people that want to breed all these other kinds of dogs that are mixed breeds. I don't know if that's good, Donna. I'm not sure. They do it for reasons, I know, so they don't drop their fur, the Labradoodle doodle dogs, I call them, and they don't drop any fur. Now, it's got its advantages, but let's keep breeding our beautiful purebred pug.
No, I agree, but I'm also as a completely biased.
Exactly, me too. Okay.
I love my puggies.
That's
so. If we wanted to find you or find another breeder, because we're a national or an international podcast, mm-hmm. where would we go looking? So where should we go looking would be the first part of my question.
Yes, on the site of Dogs Victoria, on that site, you'll find a list of reputable breeders. And you just look down that one and you send them an email or ring them and say, when would you be likely to have a litter? And, of course, at the moment, luckily, people are not breeding too many dogs, we hope. And because there's a lot of dogs out there now that have been, they're trying to sell them and they're overbreeding them because they'd bought them in COVID and they think, oh, yes, I'm going to breed this dog because of one, I want to, but two, I want to earn some extra pocket money. Well, it doesn't exactly work like that because everybody has overbred their dogs at the moment. And I think if we all slow up on doing that, things will come back to normal. And with the economy the way it is, and all those people that have a mortgage because they're buying their home or renting, whatever, they're finding it hard to put food on the table. Some, not all, of course. And the mortgage is creeping up too, so they've all got to be careful. And dog food is jumping through the roof, of course. Mm-hmm. And so we have to think, well, we've got to slow up on the breeding side of things. But, yes, look for a reputable breeder. And there's lots of sites out there that tell you about reputable breeders. And be very careful. There's another thing we must be so careful of is scammers. And please, I don't want to bring that home to anyone.
No, I'm glad you're mentioning it because it was going to be my next question. Where do you not go to find a breeder?
Well, you just don't go out onto some site that sort of that says they've got pugs. In my opinion, Donna, unless they're a reputable breeder that's a listed reputable breeder and they're interstate, don't buy interstate. Unless they're a reputable breeder and someone can recommend them, I'm suggesting you buy locally within Victoria. Even if you've got to get in the car and go for a drive, please do, and make sure you get a proper receipt. And that person, it's not, you're not meeting, and I was very much against that. Oh, look, I don't want them coming to my house. I'm going to take them down the park and they can look at the puppy at the park. No, go to the ladies, how the man that's breeding the puppies, go to their home. Make sure that they are genuine. And as a matter of fact, I do know up in Sydney and back of New South Wales and probably in Victoria too, there's possibly breeders out there that are breeding up in a shed. And and that person from Victoria, I can name one but I will not do it, he goes up there and he buys the whole litter of the puppies and he brings them to Melbourne and he registered all these and says he's bred them himself. And he hasn't bred them himself, and that's we have to be very careful. You go to that house and you say, oh, yes, that's all right. I can see mummy dog. I can see daddy dog. And, yes, these are the puppies. But you must, in my opinion, take the drive and have a look.
A little bit of effort goes a long way in the long
run. Oh, yes, and so many people over COVID were scammed. Let me tell you,
I'm not surprised.
There's a lot, and we even even the silliest things, they are starting to do that now, and people, you know, you just got to be so aware, don't you, of what's going on out there these days.
No, absolutely. So a couple of websites, if people aren't Victoria-based, are Dogs Australia, Dogs Online, or Perfect Pets.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And steer clear of online trading like Gumtree and those sort of places where, although they're technically a legitimate trading organisation, dogs that are being sold on there are more than likely, if they're not a scam, they've been backyard bred. That's what I hear.
No, I think you're right. Something there, you're not quite right there, because okay. Gumtree is a very good thing to sell, because on Gumtree you have to you can talk to the person personally. As I said, they've mm-hmm. put their Dogs Victoria number up there. They've put their source number. You have to have a source number, which is a number where you get the you've got to say you're a breeder and how many dogs you have and you're breeding from. That's a government thing, Australia wide, and you have, I think Victoria is RB something or other, and about four letters after that, and Gumtree, you then, of course, as I said, you'll find out, yes, they're registered. Yes, they've got some puppies for sale. And then pop out and see the puppies. Talk to the person. And do not in my opinion, meet at the park. Because if they're not going to let you, if they're not going to let you at their front door or in their front garden, you don't want to get a puppy that you're going to meet at the park.
That is fabulous advice. And thank you so much for that update on Gumtree, because I have to admit a lot of people refer to it as Scumtree because it's hasn't got a great reputation.
No.
When it comes with buying a dog.
Yes, exactly right. And I have advertised on Gumtree, and I don't hesitate to say so. And I know a lot of really, really, really good breeders that advertise on Gumtree when the puppies are of 6 weeks old. They've got their microchip number. You must list all the microchip numbers. You must list your number of dogs, Victoria, and then you or whatever group you belong to. And the other thing is you've got your source number, which means that, yes, you are a registered person that's allowed to have dogs. And another thing is the council, that they're good too, because you register your doggy at the council. And if you are a registered breeder, you're not paying $200 or $300 for an entire dog. So all the registered puppies, when you're a breeder, one good thing, they know and they list you down, and you don't pay. I think you pay $50 to register your dog if you're a registered breeder, and you have got an entire dog. It's $50. Sorry, it's gone up this month to $50 per annual, and they send you out reminders and say, you know, your dog's due for its $50 again. Please send me some money, and we do. So, but no, great fun, Donna. It's been a fabulous talking to you. Is there any more questions you would like to ask, or if anyone would like to ask them, I'm sure I'm happy to answer.
That is, I'm spent joy. You have literally answered every possible question that I have always wondered about breeding, which is wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I am certain that there will be people who are going to have more questions, especially if they're considering getting a puppy for the first time ever.
Absolutely. And most happy to help.
I will make sure that I put your stud name, now that I know the right word, into our show notes, so people can find you, and then they can send you an email. Otherwise, they can also leave their comments in our Facebook group, can pass them on, and then we can share the answers, because I'm sure that there are plenty of questions that people have that I haven't even come close to thinking about.
Look, there's lots, as I said, Donna, breeding dogs, it's an endless amount of questions, and as I said, I'm happy to help as many people as would like to be helped. I'm actually having a little break, and my daughter, we're having a few of my time of life. I've decided to take a few holidays, and which has been great. And I must admit, I've just come back from a little holiday, which was 3 weeks in America. And I'll tell you what, there was a lot of pugs we saw in America. And they all love them over there. And then I don't think there will be any at my next holiday in January in Antarctica. It might be too cold, I think.
Way too cold for the puppies.
I think so. Okay. But lovely to talk to you, Donna. Anyone that you wants too. To know anything, Benassi pugs, and we've bred some beautiful dogs.
Thank you so much, Joy.
No worries, Donna. Thank you, and lovely to talk to you. Bye-bye now.
You too.
Bye. Bye.
Now, I don't know about you humans, but I think Joy managed to answer every question I think I've ever had about breeding pug puppies. And if I ever decide to buy a pug instead of adopting, I'll know what to look out for and what questions to ask. And on that note, we'd love for you to share your pug puppy stories, or even a photo of your puggy when they were just a little ball of fur, over in our Facebook group, Living the Pug Life. There is nothing like a pug puppy photo or video to brighten your day. And if you liked the episode, or you think someone else might enjoy it, please share the episode and leave a review with your favourite podcast host so more pug porins can find us and join in on the fun. It only takes a couple of seconds to give us a 5-star review, and it goes a long way to helping other pug porins find us on their podcast host. So until next time, thank you for joining us. Have a pawsome week, and humans, be generous with the snackies.